Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, hello, and welcome to, again, whatever episode this might be. You can tell I'm sitting on my porch. You might hear some birds and some leaf blowers, and my computer's inside, and that would tell me, I think that this is episode 124 or 125. I can tell you that it is Monday, August 26th, and absolutely gorgeous day. Man, we have had beautiful weather. Now, you know, I'm like so zen about weather. I don't even, you know, complain about weather. And on the opposite side of that coin, don't rejoice in the weather because I am just zen all the time. I have to say, this has been really nice. This weekend was in the low 80s, very low humidity. Today, a little warmer, but still low humidity. And that here in North Carolina is a big deal. Now, we've had a cool summer, and in some ways, it's been kind of dark and dreary and depressing, but it's also been, it's been nice, and I feel like the latter half of the summer had a lot of partly cloudy days, which for those of us who, I'm not sun phobic, but I don't like to be in the direct sun very much, and I've been working a lot on in the garden over the weekend and last week. Preparing for our fall garden. We're going to try to do a fairly large fall garden this year. And as soon as the sun hit me, I just like moved, found the shade. And just, you know, even though it wasn't even hot, just don't like that direct sun. I think I'm a very pale person. So anyway, it's nice. And like there's a nice breeze blowing and some birds. I need to put my hummingbird feeder back up. I just took it down to refill it. We have had lots and lots of hummingbirds. And right in front of me, I'm sitting on the porch. Did you just hear me? I burped. I did. I'm going to leave it. Just, we're keeping it real here, ladies. I can see my lantana bush, which I did not cut back this summer. Last summer, I did because it was really hogging the bed. It is on either side. There are hydrangea bushes, and the hydrangeas were fairly new and not well established. And the lantana, which by the way is like an invasive plant. I love lantana. I think it's just fabulous. But it was just hogging everything and taking all the light. So I cut it back. But this summer I didn't. And I'm so glad I didn't. The hydrangea are fine. They're much better established this year. And as I sit here, I'm up on a rise. Our porch, come out of the porch and next to it is a deck. So we're up maybe 4 feet from yard level, and so I can just sit here and look at the top of the bush. Right now there's a butterfly. Oh, they're butterflies. They're bumblebees, not a lot of bees. And you may have seen the recent Time magazine cover about bees. It's a little frightening. And in fact, one of the projects that Will and I have on the docket is to make some bee houses, which are not hard to make. And they give bees a place to hang out when and make them happy to come to your yard. So we want to do that. We want to say, welcome, bees. Welcome. Well, this is, as you know, a quilting podcast, although you might not know it from actually listening, but it is. And I'll tell you, this weekend, I just recommitted to the mosaic quilt. I want it done. Not even so much because I'm tired of it, although it's a little tiresome, but I want it on my bed. And I have 5 blocks in process, and I think it's going to leave me, I don't know, I don't want to think about it, but I think if I just put the pedal to the metal and kind of put my head down and whatever other cliches I need to use to make this happen, I want to make it happen. It's very doable. I think the last time I said, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I do. I'm just scared to get back quilting on my Irish chain, my red and white quilt, because I haven't quilted in a while, and really all it would take is 30 minutes of sitting down with some quilt sandwiches and practicing, and I will do that. But right now I'm just like one project at a time. I'm really in a one project at a time, finish things up mode. For instance, with books. Because I am bad for reading 5 or 6 books at one time and then only finishing like one. And sometimes I read a lot of nonfiction, and so you don't feel quite that need. You know, you can read halfway and then you kind of lose interest, or you get more interested in something else. And, I don't feel bad about skimming through nonfiction. But with novels, I feel like, Finish them. Just finish them. So to that end, I am reading Louise Penny's Fatal Grace, which is her second book in the Three Pines mystery series. It's wonderful. I think, so I've read, her first book is Still Life, which my mom is reading right now. I gave it to my dad for his birthday, and I loved it, but... And one of the things I love about her mysteries is they are very character-centered. You really, it's like the, Detective Gamache is not, he's not detective. I can't remember what his title is. But the main detective, Gamache, is wonderful, wonderful. But the surrounding characters are too. I enjoy spending time with the characters. My mom was saying she felt that Still Life got off a little slowly, and I feel like that's true with Fatal Grace as well. I enjoy it, but I'm not propelled by, you know, the first 40 pages. I'm like, oh, you know, we're not even, you know, we know that someone was killed, but we're not even getting anywhere close to even starting the investigation. And but now we're really starting to get into it, and the pace is picking up. And I'm really enjoying it. In fact, I think I may go put the third one on hold. Now, I also got this book that I started, and this is going to be the book I read next, the novel I read next. It's called A Green Journey by John Hassler. See, I'm not talking about quilting. I'm talking about finishing. So I'm going to finish Fatal Grace. And when I do, I will get the next one and have that in my queue, but I think I want to read this book, A Green Journey by John Hassler. Have you heard of him? I had never heard of him. But here's the thing. So I was reading, I think I've probably talked about this before. You know the Mitford books by Jan Karen or Karan. I mean, I think it's Karan. I would love to love these books. And I like them. And I like some of the characters very much. And they're like total comfort food books. But some of the stuff really bugs me. I've spent a lot of time in the mountains of North Carolina. I think that her dialect is not good. These books are set in the mountains of North Carolina. She writes in dialect. As opposed to writing in the rhythms of mountain dialect. She drops, you know, if someone's talking about playing guitar, it's playing, and it drops the G on playing. And stuff like that. It's really distracting to me. It sounds really corny, and I don't think she does it well. And I say this as someone who's now written a couple books in a southern dialect. There are ways to do it and to capture that voice without resorting to what Karen resorts to, and I don't think she does it well. Anyway, but I keep wanting to like these books. And I've read a couple, and they're fine, and they have their pleasures. But I think I was reading something about, like I was reading, I don't know. First, I like reading Amazon reviews. And I had just I picked up the first one, which I have, and have read before. And apparently I don't know if I'd actually finished it. And there was a bookmark, so I'm like, well, I'm going to finish this. See, talking about finishing things. And I did, and I just, again, had mixed feelings. And so I looked at the Amazon reviews. Well, one of the reviews, someone mentioned this author, John Hassler. And he has all these books, and they're set in a small town somewhere in the Midwest. I can't remember now, and I've just started, and so I can't remember if I even know. It may be Minnesota. Anyway, and this person says these, you know, recommended Hassler's books as sort of a great alternative to the Mitford books. You know, books about small town life that actually seem real, and they are comforting and they're warm and what have you, but they're really well done. Let's see. I'm looking at the back. Hassler's novel, the one I'm reading is called A Green Journey. My library does not have the early ones. I think only has one or two. The first one is Staggerford. So it's a fictional Midwestern town. And this one is about a retired teacher who goes to Ireland. So it's not even going to take place in this fictional Midwestern town. I read a couple chapters, and it's very good. So I'm excited to have this series to dig into. Once I finish A Fatal Grace, I will do this, and then maybe read the third Three Pines mystery. Yes, so I'm finishing. I finished Susan Branch's new book. Do you know Susan Branch? Talking about comfort food, but comfort food that I feel has nutritional value. This is Susan Branch. She's got a blog at susanbranch.com. She is a writer and an illustrator, and she writes about homey things like her books. She does sort of cookbooks that are also kind of diaries, and she handwrites them, and lots of recipes, and I've tried her recipes and they are good. She has like a wonderful books about Christmas, and I have one of her books about autumn, and I think a lot of her titles like From the Heart of the Home. And she also does books. She illustrates books, like recipe books, where you would put your recipes in. So if you go to Barnes & Noble, a lot of times on the you walk in and there's the stuff that's for $5.99, and oftentimes like her recipe holders and things like that. She does an annual calendar. She does watercolors, and they're lovely. She's not a great artist, but she's a good artist, and so it's all very cozy and homey. But she's also funny. She's in her 60s now. She's been doing this for a long time. She lives on Martha's Vineyard. Pictures of her house just make me go, oh my goodness. And she's married and has cats, never had children. But she, and her blog is susanbranch.com, and she's fun and funny, just really, and if you read her blog and you read her stuff, you would never know that there's war, child abuse, or anything bad. But it's not in this way. It's just kind of, I don't know. Anyway, she published a book, and this is really cool because I think this book is self-published. But it's doing really well because her blog has a huge readership, and it's called A Fine Romance. Last summer, she and her husband, Joe, went to England for 2 months, and mostly they were in the Lake District, where I've always wanted to go. I've been to London, but I've not gone north. And she's a huge Beatrix Potter fan. In fact, interestingly enough, did not read Beatrix Potter's books when she was young, but got interested in Beatrix Potter when Susan Branch took up watercolor painting. So we spend a lot of, so she goes to Beatrix Potter's house and Jane Austen's house, and just really makes England come alive. And this is her diary. They sail over on the Queen Mary 2. It's handwritten diary. Her handwriting is very nice and illustrated with photographs. And she goes to the famous garden. She goes to Sissinghurst. And it just makes, first of all, it makes you really want to go. She's a good writer, and she makes you happy to be along on her journey. And so I got this. It was sort of a treat. And that was wonderful. And I just finished that. So I'm finishing things, and I'm going to finish my mosaic quilt, and that will be quite exciting. Now, if I'm going to tell you just a touch more about books, if I might, I got this book. So I walk every morning. Travis and I walk through our neighborhood. And lately, there have been a good number of crows. Now, I find crows really interesting, but I don't know much about them other than I know they are very interesting birds. They're very social. They are tricksters, they are fighters and lovers and all this stuff. And so I got this book out of the library that I was looking in bird books, and it's called In the Company of Crows and Ravens by John M. Marsluff and Tony Angel. And I think that Marsluff is, he's a science professor in University of Washington, and I think Tony Angel he's an artist, and I think his partner. In any event, so it's just this book about crows and about what they do and how they live and how they socialize and how they've appeared in literature and music and art over the years. And the illustrations are really cool. They are woodcuts, and of course crows, I think, are very well represented by woodcuts. So I'm excited. I just started that too. See, like I dip into all these books. And this is another one. I don't know if I'll finish it, but I think I will be reading some of it because I would like to learn about the social customs and culture of crows, for instance. But they are big birds, man. They fly around, and they're beautiful. I love them. But big. Big. So I'm reading that too, reading lots of stuff. I wanted to tell you, and this is to get back to quilting. So I went to see my mom recently, my mom and dad in Kentucky, and my mom gets tons of quilt magazines, just tons and tons. And she had, I know, just sorry, Mom. She gets several. I don't want to make her sound like overzealous, but she gets a lot. And she has a beautiful new sewing room that she and my dad, they didn't build, but I think that what they did is switched out the laundry room and took all that stuff out and found and put the laundry room in the pantry and put the pantry hither and yon, and then the laundry room became my mom's sewing room. And it's beautiful. The people who did it did a beautiful job. Anyway, so visiting and looking at my mom's magazines, and she gets Quilt Magazine, America's number one quilting magazine, according to the cover. I have never picked this up, and I don't know why. I think, actually, just that little slogan, America's number one quilting magazine, I'm like, really? Every time I say it, really? Are you more number one than Fonz and Porter? Are you more number one than Quilters Newsletter? Really? More number one than all of those? Who are you, Quilt Magazine? Who are you? I just wasn't buying it. Literally, figuratively and literally, not buying this magazine, but when I was at my mom's, I looked through it as I'm riffing through it right now. It's like, I really like it. I like it as much as I'm liking anything right now, because right now McCall's quilting not doing it for me. Fonz and Porter never really has, mostly just because it's so pattern heavy, and I like patterns, but I like articles too. But McCall's right now, their palette is just like, what's the problem? What's the problem here, girls? Depressed? Needs, you know, I just, just too much black. Obviously, black can be used to great effect in quilts. I'm not saying no, never black. But I think black can also muddy quilts. And I certainly do not like black and yellow because, you know, I don't like yellow. So anyway, the last couple covers, I'm like, what is going on? Did y'all get a new editor? Are you feeling like you got to mix things up and part of the mix is making really ugly quilts? You know, I just don't know. It's not that the patterns themselves are bad. They're not. But the colors, the palette is making me crazy. So I'm a little down on McCall's right now. But America's number one quilting magazine, Quilt? I'm really up on it. Cute patterns, a nice mix of traditional and modern. I'm trying to think. I was looking at a magazine recently. I don't think maybe it was. Have you noticed, like, in the last, I mean, I feel like it's been going on for a while now. Yeah, it was. Modern Quilt Studio, creating a beautiful balancing act. There do seem like over the last 3 years, each magazine has to have its, what is modern quilting? article. You're like, I think we all know by now, don't we? You know, I mean, given the plethora of articles about what is modern quilting. So yes, but I think there is what I like. I like the mixed match, and they, you know, they're also I've really just studied two, and both have had some modern sensibility and also some vintage sensibility that I really like, which I don't know if I'm saying vintage to mean traditional. But I'm looking at the October-November issue here. And so there's a quilt, Petals in the Wind. And the fabrics they choose, they're just very 1930s looking, which is a look I really, really like. And there's the cover quilt, which is a star quilt, which it's a classic Ohio star, which I love. And it looks autumn-y. It's nice browns and oranges and golds. Just neat. I just find it a very pleasing magazine. I like how it looks. I like the writing. There's lots of tips. So I am for it. And there's a nice homespun holiday quilt. Also, it's easy paper piecing. I haven't quite gotten back on my paper piecing. Sorry, Jay. I've been really out of touch with Jay. I'm just, yeah. You know, I don't know. Not the big summer for quilting. And, as I said in my last episode, a little bit of a weird summer. And one of the things, and I talked to my mom, and she said I could do this, or I may have emailed her about it. Anyway, but my mom has cancer. She has lymphoma. She is undergoing very aggressive chemo and responding really well. So we're all very happy about how the treatment is going. And the nice thing is she doesn't feel really sick. For the most part, the only symptoms of the chemo have been that she is tiredness. But she's not felt nauseous and all of that, which is good because chemo can really wipe some people out. I think, you know, I've had several friends undergo chemo in the last few years, and it seems, and I know there are different kinds, you know, there are different kinds of, lots of different kinds of cancers and lots of different kinds of chemotherapies, but of my friends who've recently undergone chemo, it's actually not been as harsh as, like, my older brother had cancer in the early 90s, and it was really harsh. It was still really harsh then. So we're hoping that my mom will continue to, you know, get through this. She has four more rounds of this chemotherapy, and we're hoping that she will continue to get through it without feeling particularly sick. She may feel more tired with each round, but she has her blood cancer great. Her spirit is great. She's surrounded by lots of love and lots of really yummy casseroles. And so what is, you know, on one hand, a kind of sad and bad situation, not kind of, it is, but you have to say, well, it's going pretty well, which is an odd perspective. But you do hit this place of the new normal. And the new normal is that my mom has cancer, but in that context is doing really well. Is responding really well to chemo. So anyway, but you know, if you're a longtime listener, you have heard me and my mom do interviews and have talks. And the most recent one was the spring when we went to the Cincinnati Quilt Festival. So her name is Jane. And you know, if you are the praying type, I hope that you will keep her in your prayers. And we are all praying that she will go into remission. We may see that as soon as January or February after the last chemo treatment. So we're praying for that. If you're not a praying type, you can just send up white light, good energy, whatever it is you put out into the universe when you're hoping to persuade the universe to do your will. That would all be appreciated. But that has made it a little bit of an odd summer, a little bit unfocused. I guess my mom was diagnosed in kind of mid latest July. It's been a little over a month ago, so it's an adjustment, and yeah, and that's kind of what's part of what's made it a weird summer. But I'm hoping it's going to be a good fall. I am. The boys started school last week. They are let's see, Jack just started at the upper school, also known as high school. He's a freshman, and I think he likes it. There's a lot of independence. You can kind of, you know, it's not like you can't go off campus as a freshman, and in fact you can't just wander off campus at any point in your career there, but I think that in between classes and at lunch there's a lot more freedom. There's a lot, and Jack really likes that. He's a very independent person. So I thought he was going to be doing debate this year, and we will see. He's a little concerned. He did it last year, and it's a lot of work. And so I think he's a little bit wondering if he won't wait until next year to get involved seriously with that, or maybe not even until maybe he'll do it this spring. And, you know, I hope he will do debate. It's such a great thing. He doesn't do sports, so this would be like his sport. But I also understand his concern. He really wants to do well academically. So, but I think he's happy. They have one of the things. They don't have a cafeteria at Durham Academy, at any of the schools, the upper, middle, or lower school, and for various reasons. So either you bring lunch, there are hot lunches, but at the upper school, they do have, you can actually buy food at the bookstore. I think they have packaged sandwiches and things like that, but they also have food trucks that come in, and they tell you the day before, all right, tomorrow the food trucks are going to be so-and-so and thus and thus. Jack has not done a food truck lunch yet, but I think that's kind of cool. I think he likes that idea, too, that every once in a while he'll be able to buy his lunch, which is fine by me. Will started fifth grade, which is middle school, at Durham Academy, and he's having a great time. He's also, you know, I think it's nervous-making starting middle school, but they do a great job with the fifth graders, making them comfortable and feel like everything's okay. And don't worry if you're late to class the first couple weeks, because they're moving from class to class. They're in a travel group. They don't have to walk in line, which Will is quite thrilled about. But he likes his advisor. His advisor is pregnant, and I think she is having her baby in November, so she will be out for 6 weeks. Interestingly enough, Jack's advisor just had a baby, so his advisor will be back in November. It's just one of those weird things where, yeah. So, you know, and I'm off for maternity leave, but I kind of wish that, in particular with Jack starting his freshman year, that they stay with the same advisor all 4 years. And their advisories are 12 kids, and this is true in the middle school and the upper school. And in the middle school, you get a new advisor every year. And in the upper school, you get your freshman year advisor as your advisor all year through, which I think is kind of cool. And you're in the same group all year through. So I really hope Jack likes his group because he's stuck with them. But that's all going well. We're all making the adjustment. We were all last week, you know, that first week of school, you're just knocked out. And we definitely were. And Will was falling asleep before dinner. But I think we are kind of back into the swing of that, and it's nice. And I didn't write last week. Today, in fact, was my first day back to work. And last week, we're doing a big fall garden, as I said, and so I really did a lot of digging. And my friend Daniil is moving, and so I went over to her house a couple days and helped her pack and stuff like that. So today, because today is Monday, we are really back in our real routine, and it feels good. It's good to be back in that routine. I think we all, as a family, thrive in our routineness. We just are. We're routine. We're orderly people. So that is where things are at right now. I was excited yesterday. Speaking of routines, felt like yesterday I kind of started getting back into my sewing routine. And I hope that that's something that I'm going to be able to make time for every day. I just enjoy it so much, and it's quite therapeutic. So I hope that by next week, I hope I'll get started on the Quilt Diaries again and start podcasting regularly again. I'm shooting for that. We shall see. But I do like routines, and I find that I'm more likely to do, if this makes sense, more likely to do something if I'm doing it in a scheduled or regular way. If I get off my routines, this is a funny thing. I'm trying to get back into a housekeeping routine, which I know the house is clean, and it's not that I don't do housekeeping, but at my old house, where we moved from 6.5 years ago, I actually had a weekly routine, and I did certain things this day and certain things that day, cleaned the bathrooms on Monday and cleaned the living room on Tuesday. And I liked doing that. And as soon as we moved, I never got back in the routine. And partly this house is a lot bigger than our old house, and I think that's part of it. It's possible that I'm in some ways busier and out of the house more. But I just never, ever got to it. And so I'm trying to figure out, and that's one of the things, after I finish this, I'm going to sit down at the table. One of the nice things about this school year is both boys are at school later. And the earliest, so I leave the house about 3:10 or 3:15 to pick up Will. And, you know, that's about 45 minutes later than I left to pick him up from the lower school. And you think 45 minutes, well, that's not much, but it is. It's like a lifetime. Psychologically, it is so different. So that's really nice. So I have finished my lunch. I'm going to go back to the table and look at my plans and decide, all right, what are Mondays for? I'm thinking cleaning the downstairs bathroom and maybe dusting the living room. I don't know, something like that. I also am going to be incorporating the boys. So they both do chores, but I think I need to get them in a regular chore routine too. But yeah, I could definitely use their help. The man, he works hard enough as it is, and he mows the lawn, which is a huge job, although I don't know. We're already, the fall garden is, we're having fun, and we're thinking about expanding the spring garden, which means we're going to have to expand our front yard for Will, so he actually has a place to play. So lots of fun yard stuff. I haven't been going to the gym because I've been going to the shovel, but today I may actually go to the gym too. Anyway, now I'm just in that rambly part. I hope this finds you well if you're in a back-to-school routine yourself. I hope you're enjoying that. I hope you're quilting. By the way, here's a request. I would really like to make a cute Halloween quilt you know, something small. It could be like 36 by 36. Because, you know, one, it's fun to decorate for the holidays, and also Halloween is Will's birthday. But I have not found a pattern that I love. And one of the things, so last year, this is called the August September Quilts and More, I have that issue, and I was going to do it, and it had a really cute pattern with all these pumpkin faces on it. So, you know, it's kind of fussy cut, the pumpkin, which I'm good with, except, you know, it's hard to find 9 different pumpkin face fabrics where the pumpkin faces are really big enough to do that. And so I've not made that quilt because I can't find the fabric. So I'm like, there's got to be just a quilt pattern that just utilizes these very cute Halloween fabrics that I saw the other day at Joann's. You know, that's, you would think that, but don't require me to buy 9 different fabrics with big pumpkin faces. Anyway, if you've got a link to a great Halloween quilt pattern, send it to me. I would really appreciate it. And let me tell you, my website is theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. I don't have quilty pictures to show you. I'll put a picture of Travis or something. So you could go over there. And again, especially if you have a link to a cute quilting Halloween quilt pattern, that would be great. If you want to just tell me, what are you going to do? What's your big fall project? Do you have one? I could use inspiration. Send me some inspiration. So you can go there. You can email me at fdowell, D-O-W-E-L-L, at NC, as in North Carolina, nc.rr.com. What else can you do? I think that's what you could do. And if you haven't done an iTunes review and the spirit is moving you to do one, go ahead and do one. Although you actually might wait a few weeks till I really get back in the quilting groove and, you know, and a little bit more out of the rambling groove. Anyway, have a great week. I hope to be back soon. If I'm not, please understand and send encouraging words. And please do keep my mom in your prayers. We would just appreciate that so much. All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.